off we go into a homestand continuing against the Detroit Tigers. Spencer Torkelson, the kid out of Petaluma. We'll have him on the show today at 9:35.
Cool.
We can ask Kipe's opinion of this brawl. I watched the 15-minute breakdown of the brawl. John Boy, media, all sorts of stuff going on in the world of baseball. Plus, Kipe's back from Tahoe, and Waterboy's back from Tahoe. We can get our Tahoe reviews in. So, good morning, Dwayne. How are you?
Kipe.
Hey, everything's good, and you know, there's nothing like a good old baseball fight that actually is a fight.
It was a fight.
That was a real,
you know, it's funny, Kipe, is that, you know, when it happened, my immediate impression was, oh, this has Phil Nevin's fingerprints all over it. And because the 1 year he was here, I was blown away by how old school he was. And then when I watched the John Boy media breakdown of it, I was proven correct. Phil Nevin, he was absolutely at the center of the entire thing. I don't know if you saw the recap of it.
Well, I didn't see the recap of it. I mean, I've watched the whole fight two or three different times, and but I'm not surprised. I mean, he's just really an intense old school guy, and you know, that's usually not going to change. I figured right away that he was going to get the most days as far as being suspended.
Yeah.
And you know what? In the long run, maybe this benefits him and he gets the job permanently at the end of the year. And you just don't know how these things play out. But I can't believe that the Angels are that unhappy with what he did quietly, because it does show some solidarity in that clubhouse. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not condoning anything of what anybody did, but Mike and I said it immediately. Mm. 8 games in 11 days, this is what happens. As much on the schedule makers and MLB as it is on the players that were involved. You can't play that many games against the same team without somebody getting riled up over something somebody did, because it's too many games in such a short period of time. You can't do it.
Wow. That's interesting.
Mike did say that, too. Mike said the same thing.
Yep. And it turns out that it did start up in Seattle.
Yeah.
When Justin Upton got hit.
Too much of this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it all is going to escalate if you keep playing the same team. Somebody's going to pick somebody off eventually if you play that many games in that short period of time. Major League Baseball has to look at this, and they have to look at the schedule and say, we're asking for trouble if we keep scheduling games like this. I don't exactly remember, but I think they played the Rockies 6 times in 10 days or something like that. And it's a recipe for disaster. If somebody gets hit and they think it's intentional, it's going to escalate into what you just saw.
And Dwayne, just for people who didn't see the breakdown, and John Boy does a great job, and fair warning for all the kids out there, 14 and under, there's
a real fair few
F-bombs in this thing that John Boy recites. But what happens is it's at the end of Saturday's game, and this is the stuff fans don't see because game ends, you head for the exits. And as the Mariners are doing their handshakes on the field, Nevin is on the top step staring at them, and he's yelling at them that they had thrown at Trout and that, like this isn't over, or like you did what we saw what you did, or that was blankety blank. Right. So Dwayne, it was laid down Saturday night that he was like, and, you know,
to be continued almost.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, totally.
And then they scratched the starter and put in a reliever.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's all really all dictated by strategies that they had before the game. It's why Nevin got 10 days. The thing that's going to be interesting is to see how Angel management takes this. Do they take this as a good thing?
Yeah.
Or they take this as a bad thing? And we'll find out at the end of the year who the Angels go about hiring someone. And it may very well be Phil Nevin.
And how the team plays, right, Kipe?
Absolutely. Do they look like they're giving up on the field? I mean, that's probably the most important thing, is that they stay competitive on the field and they're entertaining. And that's Nevin's job right now. I mean, Bruce Bochy swears by the guy. And I trust Boch, and I like Nev. He's awesome. He became Dave Fleming's best friend.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
That's funny.
I don't see those two as like birds of a feather because Nevin's so salty. Yeah.
Why? Why?
Because Dave got him on golf courses.
Ah, there we go. See? That's it. Hey.
And they really did get along.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dwayne. Sorry to interrupt, but we had him on. He was so entertaining. He's very funny. Yeah.
He absolutely is. And so anyway, I don't like to see that happening. But when you have a relationship with those guys that were involved, you have to be careful that you don't lean on that and tilt it in a certain direction. But I don't think what Nev did is right. If you start screaming at people after a game, then it's likely something's going to happen the next day.
Right. And then the other, just one more thing, and then we'll get back to the Giants here, was in the breakdown that John Boy did so well, the players that are involved, but you, Scott Servais at one point is in the middle of it getting thrown to the ground, and then there's a bench coach for the Angels named Dom Chidi. I don't know if you know him. He takes down one of the Mariners players. He got five. So, in other words, some of these guys who are north of 50 were throwing their bodies into the fray, which can get a little
dangerous. No, no question.
But,
Hey, be careful of that old man strength, man. You got a baseball fight going on.
Yeah.
And those guys at that age have been involved in these before.
Right.
Mike and I say it all the time.
Right.
The fights that you see in the big leagues, they don't compare to anything that you see the fights in the minor leagues. Young guys with a lot of adrenaline that just are out of college that, think that they can win the world.
Yep.
They got their scrapbooks in their back pocket. Those are the fights that you really got to be careful. And problem is if they get to the big leagues and, they're not calm down by the time they get to the big leagues, then you're going to see some problems with these younger guys. And, and there's always the guys that circle a pile and start throwing sucker punches. And those, you could get away with that, 30, 40 years ago because there wasn't that many TV cameras on you. Now you can't get away with it because Major League Baseball will take a look very closely at things that go on like that. And that's what's going to cost you game and money.
Yeah, so wild, wild stuff. And we'll continue to follow the Angels. And Nevin, 10-game suspension, and on we go. Giants tonight, no suspensions. In fact, Dwayne, before we get to this upcoming set with the Tigers and the White Sox, is nothing happened with Tommy Pham. It was very different than the Angels and the Mariners. I wondered if you observed it. What were your observations over the three games?
Well, you could tell that he was trying way too hard because I think he went 1 for 12, 1 for 13.
Mm-hmm.
He did get a base hit that hurt him in that big inning. I think that's a credit to Jock. Say, hey, let's just play. And I think the fans booed, and that's it. That's their right, and that's how you should handle it. And they booed every time he came up. They booed if he caught a fly ball. So, you know what? I hope it's over with because for me now it's a tired story. It's like the Kardashians and O.J. Simpson. I don't want to read about it.
No.
I don't want to hear about it.
Nice.
It's over. So let's please move on.
Yeah, I got you, Dwayne.
All right. We move on to tonight and Carlos Rodon and just the team in general, too. I mean, the bummer homestand or bummer weekend. What'd you see from the squad? I mean, just the way they didn't play up to their standards, the way they wanted to.
Well, I mean, look, Mike and I have been on those Reds teams where you're way under 500. Pardon me. And your job is to really spoil the team that's better than you are when you get a chance. And the Reds did it in Cincinnati, and they did it again this weekend. It really is too bad, defensively, I think they probably screwed up one of those games that they should have won. But overall, they just didn't play very good. Webb was fabulous on Saturday in front of a great crowd, the E40 crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I was really disappointed. you expect a lot out of a bunch that won 107 games. And this weekend, they didn't look like that team that won 107. But, you know, things can turn around very quickly. And if it turns around, it should happen at home. And we'll see if that happens tonight. Because, you know, right now, you know, we're used to exciting baseball. We saw it Saturday. We saw four home runs on Saturday. But we kind of expect to see that all the time. It's not going to happen. But to play good, clean baseball, you know, fundamentally, no mental errors, cut down the physical errors, that's what you expect to see. And hopefully we'll see that going forward.
Yeah. Hey, got a little help last night. Chad Kuhl of the Rockies, complete game shutout over the Dodgers. So, you know, we'll take that. Pick up a half game.
Look to me like the Dodgers, you know, and I think it happened a little bit to the Giants, where you come out of hot Atlanta where, you know, you've just been beat up by the heat. And the next couple of games you play, you really have to be careful that you're just not fatigued. And they looked like a fatigued team last night. I watched some of that game, and it didn't look like they had any life. You know, that'll change. They're just too good. But yeah, it was fun watching that kid beat him.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
By the way, I read a little bit about the Dodgers-Braves series and started to get a little miffed because they were sort of saying that this was their main rival now. Like, this is because they faced them in the playoffs a couple times. And
who, the Braves said that about the Dodgers?
Kenley Jansen did say that facing his old team was as intense, but not as intense as facing the Giants. So he at least gave some love to the Giants. But a lot of the Dodgers and Braves were talking like this is now the new NL rivalry. And I was like, whoa, we just had five with them
in
October.
That's a little premature, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you get swept in a three-game series, you kind of want to put that behind you and
nice.
Talk about another team.
That's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
Nice.
So, I mean, that, you know, they can talk all they want, but
this
rivalry is just not going to change.
I'll give you an interesting one, too, that was and this I wanted to ask you about, kind of big picture non-Giants question. I was reading about it, and so it's something we didn't really talk about much because we were doing other stuff on Monday, but Freddie Freeman's return was very emotional. And I guess he cried a lot and all this. And then he went out and got his ring. And then Clayton Kershaw, I don't know if you saw this, but Clayton Kershaw gave an interesting quote. He said, wow, it's obvious that he's very attached here. He said, I hope we're not second banana for him. He said, once he gets comfortable over here, we have a pretty cool team, and I hope he'll like it here. And some people interpreted it as that Kershaw was maybe saying, hey, Freddie, let go of the Braves, buddy. You're a Dodger now. And there was some of the writers kind of chase that thread a little bit. And I don't know if you saw those comments or thought about it.
I did. It's just get over it. I mean, and Kershaw did a really soft way of saying, you know, get over the team over there, and now you're wearing the Dodger blue.
Right.
So I think that was just a reminder of who you are and where are you, and just get over it. Wear the ring. Wear it proud. But we got a job to do, so let's do it. I think that's basically the message he sent. He could deny that, but he said what he said, and I think everybody that interpreted it that way was right.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Kind of, I don't want to say he called him out, but he was like, hey, dude.
In a very gentle Kershaw way, a very polite way, yeah.
Do you think Freddie got the message?
Yeah, I mean, we used to have guys that came over from another team.
Yeah.
And when that team came into town, you know, they would go over to the batting cage or, you know, lots of hugs. And eventually in the clubhouse, somebody would say, hey, get over it.
Totally.
Get over it.
Yep.
And it was never said in a way where, you know, now we're going to fight. It was said in somewhat of a kidding way.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be with the Reds, then the Reds would still want you.
Yeah.
So get over it.
Yes, sir.
And that's basically how guys deal with it in the clubhouse.
Okay, so it's a real thing. Yeah. Hey, Freddie, remember it's the old thing you'd say in middle school, if you like it so much, why don't you marry it? Remember that whole thing, Paulie, in middle school?
I do.
If you like the Braves so much, why don't you marry him?
Still, if they wanted you, you would still be in their dugout. Clearly, they didn't want you.
Yeah.
They wanted the guy that's playing first base right now that came from the A's.
That's a great call. Great call. Hey, by the way, other fun stuff to hit you with is that somebody, you know, everybody's upset on Monday, and somebody said, I wish Gabe Kapler would flip the spread. And we joked about flipping the spread. And I told the story that I believe it's worth retelling. I believe Frank Robinson, your old manager, would on occasion flip the spread, right?
You know what? He didn't flip the spread. Okay. The spread. He cut it off.
Oh, that's what he did.
You know, Frank wasn't going to throw food on the floor. He's too old school. We had a guy, and Mike will tell this story too, and he probably tells it better. But we're playing a doubleheader in Pittsburgh, and the game ends at like 2 in the morning, and nothing is open for food. The hotel has shut down its room service because it's that late. And we lost a really tough game, and we walk into the clubhouse, and our third-string catcher, Johnny Rabb, flips the spread. And literally, I thought there were 24 guys that were going to just kill him on the spot.
Yeah.
Just flat out kill him.
Yeah.
Because nobody had any food. That was it.
I remember Johnny Rabb. Yeah.
I saw big leaguers literally get the food off the floor.
Oh,
hot dogs that were rolling around. And so anyway, flipping the spread may sound cool, but it's not.
It's the
dumbest thing that you could possibly do.
Especially
if you're in Pittsburgh and you got no phone.
Mayonnaise on the rug. Doesn't come out that easy. All right, turning to the Tigers, a very rare occasion, but hey, 2012 World Series rematch, and I know they've played them since then on occasion. We're going to have Spencer Torkelson on. It's exciting. This kid out of Petaluma, the 2020 number one pick. Now, it's not, you know, he's hitting 193, so it's, you know, it's not easy. He hasn't homered since May 18th, but still, we want to give the kid a warm welcome when he comes back to the Bay. And, you know, it's hard, right, even for a number one pick, Dwayne, to jump right in and produce on the big league level.
Well, ask Joey Vart. Sometimes being the number one pick is definitely harder at the big league level than the 10th pick or the 26th pick because your name is circled as the number one pick.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do, Mr. Number One Pick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody watches, and there's a lot of extra pressure. And sometimes it's not fair. You should ask him, though, if he went to the parade or if he, he may have been an A's fan. Who knows? But it would be interesting to see if he paid a lot of attention to the 2012 World Series.
Because it would have been 10 years ago, and he's 20. I think he's like 22, 20. Yeah, he would have been 12 years old, something like that.
Yep. Well, one of us probably waved at him at the parade. Hopefully, that's true.
The story on this, Dwayne, are you familiar with this? That was the year when he was 12. The Petaluma National Little League team went to Williamsport, right? Biggest thing in the history of Petaluma baseball and all that. And he was on the rival Little League, so he was in town, but he wasn't in that league. So the think of how they would have been if they had the number one pick on their team, too.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that? I think you take those kids no matter what. Somehow figure it out.
Right, cheat.
Put them in a different uniform under a different name.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, Dwayne, I'm doing it now. It's All-Star season. You used to see the binders you have to bring with these birth certificates and maps and proof of residency and all that stuff.
Has Mike ever told you the Frankie Williams story?
No, I'd love to hear it. Frank Williams, the
Frankie
pitcher?
Frank Williams was one of our relievers, yeah. And he had an identical twin that was identical. And I can't remember what town we were in, but Frankie has a long night. And it's so long, he can't get to the park. So he dressed his brother up in Frankie's uniform, and he sat in the bullpen.
What?
Was never used, obviously.
Wow.
But and I don't think anybody knew about it. I don't think the coaches knew about it. The only problem would have been is they got the call that said, get Frankie up. But that was probably not going to happen because it was 2 or 3 innings the day before. So we were pretty sure that Frankie's brother could sit in the bullpen and nobody would know the difference, and nobody did.
Oh, my God. That is so great. I got to hear that. Okay, we'll dial that one up for Mike tomorrow. The Frankie Williams story. I remember Frank Williams. I remember him.
Yeah. He was a great guy.
That's good.
But he had a long night and couldn't make it to the park.
Get his twin out there. That's all time. That's got to go into a book or something, man. That is so good. All right, Kipe. So the Tigers in town, Torkelson in town, and Rodon gets the ball, right?
All right, here we go.
They're coming with a lefty of their own who's got decent numbers. You know, it's time
to... Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's good. I think Dave said the other day that he's one of the top 5 or 10 starters in the American League. So, I mean, right off the bat, the Giants are going to see their best pitcher.
And I guess one last one, too, for you, Duane, is to appreciate the Miguel Cabrera. I mean, we had a great talk with George Brett. He was on 2 weeks ago with us, and while he was walking his dog, it was a really great conversation. He said that he was the hitting coach for the Royals for only 2 months before he just got too tired. He said, I can't do this. But he said they were in Detroit, and he was watching Cabrera, and he said, this guy might be the best right-handed hitter I've ever seen. So he's 39 years old, and we should probably – he's still hitting .296, guy. We should probably give him a little ovation or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, .296, and you're not seeing any infield hits. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. And this is probably the last time anybody's going to see him at our park.
Yeah.
So you appreciate it. And, you know, the DH is helpful to guys that age. And, you know, I haven't really watched. I don't think he's played a lot of first base. But he can still move around a little bit. So I'm looking forward definitely to seeing him.
Yep, good stuff. All right,
and
Duane.
By the way, the guy that struck him out got a job.
I know.
We were just talking about
that.
Isn't
that crazy?
So when Sergio Romo got DFA'd by Seattle, we wondered if that was it. Nope.
This guy cannot be
Toronto.
Stopped, Kipe. He just keeps going.
Toronto Blue Jays, yeah. Sergio Romo.
He's in Toronto, and, you know, in the age of how bullpens are used now, he's got the ability to get righties and lefties out, so, you know, sign him up.
God bless.
He might be pitching for another 10 years.
I watched this last night, got a chance to see some highlights, see Gosman pitching for the
I saw his numbers. Pretty impressive.
Grown his hair out, and his splitter's unhittable.
What did he strike out 10?
It just looked nasty. He's got that.
Yeah.
I mean, his stuff, nasty. Of all the pitchers I've seen, it's just like, it seems like balls out of his hand are harder to hit than almost anybody I can see. He's got a intense delivery. He throws hard.
It reminds me of Jason Schmidt when Schmidt was at his best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the fastball and the split or the change, whatever he wanted to call it, those two pitches were so dominating that, you know, he had a chance to throw a shutout and go 9 innings every time he went out. He was that good. And the Giants got the best out of Schmidt before he was in Pittsburgh, and then he ended up with the Dodgers. But in that time frame in the middle, they got the best out of him.
So good. I loved it. All right, Duane, off you go. See the City Connects, Carlos Rodon, Torkelson, Cabrera, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Duane. Yeah.
You bet. All right, guys.
There he is, the great Duane Kuiper. You are listening to KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus media station. Triple E now has the seats. He'll be there, the one seeing Torque and Cabrera.
Murph is
tonight.
Cool like that, giving his seats to the kid. He'll go out there and be a big shot tonight in the good seats. Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here thinking about who can I get to dress as Pauly Mack to sit in my place.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.